Second Chronicles 5. And I was thinking about, since we hadn't had live church here for a couple of weeks straight, that, you know, where we go from here, and I'm glad that we were able to come on Thanksgiving. And so this seemed apropos. In 2 Chronicles 5, you have a scenario here where Solomon has built the temple and dedicated the temple, gotten the priests ready. He's in the midst of that temple dedication. I'm going to pick up in the middle of things here, down in verse 13, 2 Chronicles 5:13. Then you'll see where we're going with this. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in the praising and thanking the Lord. Notice thanking the Lord. And when they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Let's bow our heads there and have a word of prayer. Now, Lord, once again, we come back to you here, and it's not really fitting to pray 2 or 3 minutes about thanksgiving unto God, for we have to be thankful for so much more than we can cover in just a handful of minutes. We think about a country who celebrates Thanksgiving as a holiday, and it seems that most of the thanks has gone out of the holiday for most people. We pray that might not be the case with us, and we ask that you might enlighten our eyes to some things tonight. And Father, may you help us, as you always do, as you dispense the truth to us, to show us some things about ourselves that we need to see. And so I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's Thanksgiving tomorrow, and you find down in chapter 5, verse 13, in the process of the dedication of the temple, that among the things that these trumpeters and singers were doing was that they were giving thanks to the Lord. Now, with regard to Thanksgiving, I want to just say that one thing that ought to strike you is that this world, plainly, doesn't have much of a grasp any longer on what Thanksgiving is or what it does. Now, I'd say this about it to start with. Right now, I'm talking about the mainline secular world. I don't know that it's always been that way. I do believe that as the prophetic times progress, that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So that means that the unbelief, the atheism, the agnosticism, and all the other things, the amorality and the amorality that goes on and progresses, it'll get worse and worse. But I will say this, it's funny to watch, in a way, the world step up and try to honor something called Thanksgiving, when in the main they have nobody to be thankful to. I mean, they've educated themselves out of God, they've taught their children there's no God, and so now they're supposed to, for a day, pretend to be thankful. Yeah, to who? And the fact of the matter is, they don't have anybody to be thankful to that they can name. So it's general gratitude towards nobody, which means that what they're saying, while they're trying to sentimentalize something, it's just lip service. It's just lip service. Now, the other thing that strikes me about this is that the world has by now engendered such victimization and such bitterness and such resentment into multiple generations now who are operating under the guise of having been cheated, having been wronged, their land stolen, everything stolen, that the law's unfair, everything's against me. That as they've gotten to this particular point, they can't be thankful because they've been raised and weaned on resentment and thanklessness. And so you now have folks that are in the middle of maybe it's come to a head now more in 2020 than any other time we've seen. I don't know, in my lifetime. It just seems like an awful lot of people are going to have problems tomorrow trying to be thankful for anything because they're not thankful the rest of the year anyway. With that regard, I have to just say that you don't have to be a news fanatic to be able to see those things. You don't have to spend hours and hours on a news channel to see those things. You see it all around you. My thought about that is that the God, small g God, of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Just stop and reflect and just think for a minute, just meditate for a minute about how successful the devil has been in strangling gratitude from the hearts of the average American. And at every turn, you find people talking bitterly, people feeling victimized, people being cheated out of something or other in their own minds anyway. And it must have been a mighty labor for the devil these last several generations to have actually successfully commandeered the hearts and minds of so many people, and let's just be blunt, so many people in the United States of America, which is a nation of spoiled brats to start with, and basically convince them that they've been cheated and that they're owed something. I mean, the devil has been mightily, mightily successful. And I dare say that he probably encroaches in some ways with even Christians and Bible believers. With that in mind, I'd like to just say that there are many things I know that contribute to this matter. I mean, a lot of the time it's just because we're so stinking busy in our lives, and so you don't have time to stop and reflect about just how blessed you are. That's easy enough. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Again, we live in the breadbasket of the world. Most of you have not suffered a loss of a meal because you had to, and apparently you haven't suffered the loss of a meal, period, from what I'm seeing, but no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, for a really long time, and the reason why is because of where you live. There's that, there's prosperity, there's the undermining of the Bible, so that now, you know, folks have become more and more estranged from the promises of the Word of God and the blessings that come from God. I'll say this, Eve was ungrateful before she was envious. I'll say this, Cain was ungrateful before he got mad enough to kill. Saul was ungrateful before he was rejected as king and became demon-possessed. And David was ungrateful before he became a wife stealer and a murderer. I came to this with this, that the devil can lead the ungrateful just about anywhere he wants to. All roads are open if the devil can just keep you in a place where you don't recognize God's blessed hand in dispensing to you the goodness of this life. And if he can get you into a resentful place and a bitter place, into a self-serving place, he can lead you just about anywhere he wants to. Now we usually, the title of this message is What Thankfulness Hath Wrought. And we'll see a few examples here tonight, be fairly short. But, you know, we usually conceptualize gratitude as being a response only. For instance, we teach our kids, or should, that, you know, somebody hands you something, you say thank you, you know, and even if it's not a big deal, just, you know, your response should be thank you. And that's, of course, very good, but I want to just say from the study tonight that gratitude is not just a response. I'd like to point out to you tonight that gratitude is also a stimulus. Now, I'm not teaching you to try to manipulate God into doing what you want him to by soft soaping him and brown nosing, that sort of thing. I'm not saying that. But a heartfelt, conscientious, sincere gratitude does pay dividends. it does stimulate some things. And you say, well, how could that be? Well, try it with your wife sometime. I mean, bring her not just flowers, but candy, both. And say, honey, I love you, and I'm thankful for you. Now, gentlemen, you're going to have to give her some time, because she's going to now have to pick her jaw up off the floor and figure out how to tie it back up, because that's something she's never heard before from you. And so it's going to take a little time for her to respond. But I bet you before the day's over that she's probably back to being pretty sweet on you. Because gratitude can be a stimulus. And so I want to point out a couple things in the scriptures to you, if you would, for a minute. Look in Romans chapter 1, if you would. And this, of course, is a broad range thing. But Romans chapter 1, and Paul really approaches this from the other end than I'm approaching it, but we'll get there in just a second. It says in Romans chapter 1, and the passage you're very, very familiar with, verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, you can contest that all you want to, but they're without excuse. Verse 21, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, one, neither were thankful, two, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, one of the chief stumbling blocks of the nations, one of the chief stumbling blocks of heathen mankind, is the fact that they glorified God not as God when they knew him, and neither were they thankful. So you can see in that 1-2 punch that being grateful or being ungrateful counts a long way towards where you wind up, either in heaven or hell. And I just want to say that the course and fall of every single nation really revolves around that formula. The Lord doesn't change this formula for any nation. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and so off they go, right? You have to say that that's probably true of individuals as well. I'll ask you this, when did you last meet a thoroughly grateful drunk? That's not why you drink, because you're thankful. I don't even doubt they even pray over the drink. You know what I'm saying? But why, you know, when is the last time that you met a truly grateful druggie? Or a truly grateful sodomite? Or a grateful thief? Or a grateful mugger? Or a grateful somebody in prison that, you know, it landed there because of criminality? You know, when's the last time that they started out with gratitude? And the answer is, they didn't. They didn't. So I want to say that, and it'll be clear in just a second, that one of the things that thankfulness hath wrought is that it hath elevated men to godliness. For many, to salvation itself, but even in the heathen, if they will glorify God and acknowledge that they should be thankful to the God who made the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament is handiwork. If they can acknowledge they should be grateful and thankful and glorify that God, they have elevated themselves way above so many heathen in this entire world throughout history. The earmark and of the depravity and the decline of our day, you know, you can blame it on lots of stuff. You say, well, the key is the sodomites, or the key is the transvestites, or the key is the transgenders, or the key, the key is envy, or the key is murder, or the key is hatred versus love, et cetera, et cetera. You know, if you really get down to the boot of things, down to where the rubber meets the road, oftentimes It's really something called ingratitude. Now, I just want to say that one of the things that gratitude hath wrought is that it has elevated man to godliness. Ingratitude is a concrete block around somebody's neck. And in this passage, you find, of course, Romans 1. Then you go on over down, going down to Romans 2. And you can see while gratitude is not mentioned there, it does flow from what was said back in 120 and 121, where that these men, verse 15, which show the work of God of the law, rather written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. He's connecting that some folks have been advanced in life, and presumably by the time it's all said and done, they get saved because they started out right with those first blocks, which was to glorify God and to be thankful. So I want to say that one of the things that thankfulness hath wrought is that it has elevated man to godliness. And I don't know, you know, where you stand, but the first step in getting saved is being grateful. It's nice to not be in hell yet. It's nice to have an opportunity. It's nice to hear. In fact, it's wonderful to hear of a Savior that loved me enough to die for me. After you are saved, you ought to be thankful. You have so much to be thankful for. Thankful for Calvary. Thankful for an empty tomb. Thankful for Jesus Christ. Thankful for a hope that you have that is not going to fade away. Thankful for knowledge. Thankful for revelation. Thankful for the Bible. Thankful for preaching. Thankful for teaching. Thankful for the church. Thankfulness for the Holy Spirit that indwells me. Thankful for Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ that indwells me. Thankful for prayer. Thankful for the gospel. Thankful for the brethren. Thankfulness hath wrought some things, and among those things is the fact that it has elevated man to godliness. There is something ungodly about ingratitude. And there's something that does advance a man if he will just be grateful. David mentions his gratefulness and gratitude over 40 times. Paul mentions gratefulness and gratitude over 50 times. God responds to his kids' gratitude. So do you. Well, some of you moms, your two-year-old, your three-year-old drew you a picture of yourself at some juncture in the past. You look like you have skillets for both hands and feet, and your head doesn't look much better. But it was the cutest thing because they did it for you because they loved you and appreciated you. And you're going to put that thing away in some Encyclopedia Britannica or the Family Bible or something. You're going to go back through that thing and you're going to look at it over and over again the next 30 years and cry every time. Because it means something to you that your kid was grateful to you. And do you really think God's that much different? So I want to say that one of the things that gratitude hath wrought is that it hath elevated man to godliness. Take your Bibles, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2 real fast. And you might have never thought about this quite from this angle. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort, verse 1, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, be made for all men. Tough pill to swallow. Right? Okay, where are y'all at? Y'all sleeping? Sleeping behind those masks. Put those masks down from in front of your eyes. I can see you sleeping. Verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You see that? We're to give thanks to all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. We're to thank God for them, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, I know, I mean, for as many years as I can remember, it seems like each progressive generation of politicians and whoever is involved in government, whoever the rulers are, it just seems like through my lifetime that increasingly the clouds just gathered on the horizon and got blacker and blacker and more foreboding and more foreboding. And so now you're facing up the possibilities of a President Biden and a President, her. Anyway, you say, what's the point? Well, the point is that in spite of all that, the fact is I've been bothered very little by the leaders that have, we can talk about tax policy and we can talk about, you know, foreign policy and we can talk about a lot of things. And I, believe me, I'm able to, I can discuss those things. But the fact of the matter is, I've still got a belly full. And so far, I grant you this, 2020 has been just downright flat weird. But to this hour, you're still having a chance to serve Jesus Christ freely. Well, even on Saturday, we plan to go out, right? Publicly. You say, well, what's the point? Well, in that passage, it says that in giving thanks for all men, and also for kings, verse 2, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. It's giving credit for having given thanks for the leadership that we have in the society that we have, that is the stimulus for us having had that kind of tranquility where we can live our lives in all godliness and honesty. It's not saying, oh, well, we should be thankful to them for letting us. It's saying, because we gave thanks, that's one reason we have the blessings. That means that the gratitude is the stimulus, not the response. There's a difference. Most of us have lived our lives in unmolested tranquility in the main, in the country that we live in. Like I said, I know 2020 has been an anomaly and it may all get worse from here. I get that. But the fact of the matter is that all through the nightmare policies of the Obama administration, I was affected very little in my life as far as how I operated within my family, among my friends in our church, because Barack Obama was in the White House. And so before you start, jettisoning everything, because now it's President Biden, at least potentially, whatever all that means, whether the Electoral College and all that stuff, whatever is the case, don't jettison everything and quit being thankful because you have a dweeb in the White House. Because the fact of the matter is, your thankfulness may very well stimulate you having some more time to live your lives in all godliness and honesty. Right? We've had, since the revolution of the late 1700s, we've had one war fought on this country's soil, the Civil War. Now, don't argue with me on, stipulating, other wars, turf wars and gang wars and stuff like that. But, as far as major attacks, it's 9/11. The rest of the time, you've been left alone. And you have no excuse not to have lived more godly, fruitful life than you have. And maybe part of that is because there were a bunch of people praying. There are a bunch of people praying in gratitude for having a chance to live here. And maybe that gratitude stimulated God to increase bountifully those blessings. I'm saying that among other things, that gratitude, thankfulness, hath promoted secular tranquility. It's worked in your country. Do you know how many people, now don't argue with me about how many folks were killed by, you know, the secret police or whatever in America, whatever. But you know how many people in history were killed in Russia by the government, in Rome by the government, in North Africa by the government, all over this world, Romania by the government. And in the main, there's been no major populace murdering going on in our country. I said, don't argue with me about the police and, blah, 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 all that stuff. Just don't argue with me about it, because conspiracy nonsense. But the fact of the matter is that gratitude hath promoted secular tranquility. And maybe we should take seriously that this torch has been passed to us, and that maybe the secular tranquility will end because of our ingratitude if we cease to pray along those lines. Know what I'm saying? And I just want to say that you say, well, Brother Stephen, somewhere along the way, this secular tranquility has to transition into prophetic turmoil, because things pretty much probably have to get worse before we get out of here. And okay, if that's true, and we're seeing a transition into prophetic turmoil at this time, isn't that something to thank God for too? Hey, at least the thing's winding down. At least it's not just going on and on and on forever. At least it's winding down. So that's number two. Let me take you now to 2 Chronicles 5, our original text tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, where at the dedication of the temple, the singers are singing and the trumpeters are trumpeting and everybody's playing and all's well. And verse 13, it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in the praising and thanking of God, or rather of the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. But then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. All right, what accompanied a gratitude in that case was the glory of God. And so I can find you at least one place in history where gratitude hath ushered in and escorted in the glory of God. When those singers were singing and those trumpeters were trumpeting and they were praising God and thanking God, that glorious cloud settled over the house. It ushered in the glory of God. It is a stimulus. Thankfulness is a stimulus as well as a response. I agree we should respond thankfully when the Lord does something. But you should be thankful before he does anything. And I'm not trying to get you to try to manipulate God. I'm simply saying that gratitude is a stimulus as well as a response. David appointed those men. Those men, you'll find in other places in the Word of God. Their entire occupation, their entire lives were built around their singing and around their music writing and around their music playing, for no other reason than that they should glorify God. That was their entire job. The entire job of the Levitical priesthood was to go through the things they went through ritually. I grant you, we're not ritual anymore. We don't have to be. But those things all ushered in the glory of God. I am saying that the spirituality, the power, the things that we kind of envy about the tabernacle in the wilderness and the times that the cloud and pillar and fire were over that tabernacle, the times at the temple itself where the majesty was just overwhelming, and the glory of God filled, and the train of God filled the temple, all those things were based essentially on gratitude. The people of Israel being grateful to be God's people and to have an opportunity to build God's house, and God honoring that gratitude. And so I'd like to say that one of the things that gratitude hath wrought is that it hath ushered in the glory of God. It did in 2 Chronicles 5. And so we come here and we sing and we pray. And I don't know what the Lord gets out of it exactly. It sure would be cool to be singing one of those songs and the Lord said, finally says, "That's it. That's the threshold. Come on, come up hither." Right in the middle of a song. That would be a cool thing. I've got little birds at my house in the spring, and they come out and they're about the half the size of my fist. And they sit outside my window at 6 in the morning and they go, "Tweet," 10,000 times over. "Tweet, tweet, 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 tweet." Till finally I open the window and say, "Shut up, you stupid bird!" Now, can there be any question? Those birds are singing because God wanted them to. And you can do much better. We don't tweet, do we? We don't tweet. We have so much more in our vocabulary. We have so much more in our understanding. We don't have to tweet. I just want to say that gratitude hath ushered in the glory of God. And you ought to think about that. I hope that you get something out of coming here and hearing preaching and being able to conceptualize in your mind what the brute creation can't even touch. And you have the opportunity to pray, and you have the opportunity to sing. And I hope you sing with your whole heart, mask or no mask. I want to say this further. There's a few other things. This will go fairly quickly. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, you can probably cite the verse before I get there. That's fine. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But have you ever read it? Have you ever read it from this direction? I'm saying that gratitude is not just a response. It's not just God doing something for you and you saying, "Hey, God, thank you." Which you should do. I'm not debating that. I'm saying that your being grateful stimulates something as well. It stimulates you being grateful has elevated man to godliness. It hath promoted secular tranquility. It's worked here for centuries. It's worked here right under your very nose. I want to say that it hath ushered in the glory of God. I'd like to say 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Yeah, you should give thanks. When God does something for you, thank Him for it. But it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I'd like to say that I hope you can see the way that's worded, that you can see your gratitude being the stimulus, not the response. Your gratitude hath secured the will of God. You know, folks wrestle around and search with a searchlight and try to find the will of God for their lives. They're worried about the secular place, the geographical place. They're worried about all kinds of details and all those sort of things. And okay, there's times that's legitimate. That's all fine. That's all good. But the Bible right there just told you that one way to fulfill the will of God is to be grateful. That is, your being grateful fulfills the will of God. It's the stimulus. It gets you there. It's God's will that you be grateful. So if you'll be grateful, you are in the will of God. I want to say that it hath secured the will of God. If ingratitude is our nation's chief stumbling stone, and I believe I can make that case, then wouldn't it also mean that that was the high calling of God in Christ Jesus for me and you, to be grateful? If the great failure of our home nation is ingratitude, wouldn't it be somewhere near the top of God's list that gratitude would be one of the Christian's high callings? It has secured the will of God. You can get in the will of God tonight without leaving your chair by being grateful. It secures the will of God. Colossians says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be ye thankful. Colossians 2 says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Ephesians 5 says this, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. It's the will of God. Ephesians 5 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to say that it hath secured the will of God. You know, one of the famous Bible commentators of the past was a guy named Matthew Henry. And one night, Matthew Henry, somebody broke into his hotel room and robbed him. And afterward, he was quoted as saying, I'm grateful for several things. I'm grateful that I've never been robbed before. I'm grateful that he didn't take my life. I'm grateful that he took all that I had, but that wasn't much. And then lastly, he said, I'm grateful that I was the one that was robbed and not the robber. I bet that went across some of your minds. You know? You say, what are you getting at, Brother Stevens? I'm getting at the fact that it has the being grateful hath secured the will of God. I want to say this as well. Hebrews chapter 13 real fast. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. And again, these are familiar passages. I'm just not sure if you might have looked at them from this direction or not, because I'm preaching to you tonight that you should consider gratitude not just a response, which is a legitimate and godly response, but please consider gratitude also a stimulus by which something's actually achieved, something which God actually blesses when you exercise it. For instance, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There's thanks. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now it said that the sacrifice of praise and giving thanks to his name, as well as doing good and communicating, those things all please God as spiritual sacrifices, right? So thanksgiving hath ensured the pleasure of God. It says there, with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Some people wonder whether what they're doing pleases God. Well, I know there's more than one thing there, but one of those things is thankfulness. One of those things is gratitude. If you are grateful and can thank God, you please Him. It's not just a response. It's a stimulus. Your act of being grateful plays as God. It's a stimulus. Our dog, sometimes we come home and he's very happy to see us. Now he's his lineage has to do with sheep, and so he's a sheep, technically a sheep dog, and of course he's this big massive thing. And so, you know, you might worry when he comes bounding up to you if he's going to jump up on you and, you know, scratch you or something like that, and that's not what he's going to do. When he wants to see you and insists that you touch him and so on, what he does is he runs up to you and he throws his rear end into you, boom, like that. It's a body check. It's like a hockey body check. What that means is, scratch me there. And so as long as you will scratch him there, he will sit and roll around. It's disgusting, rather, you know, kind of watching him go through these contortions of just having his rear end scratched. His eyes roll back in his head and everything else. But he's really, really glad to see us. It pleases him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if only you wanted to see your God that much. You can't tell me. You know how you are when your grandkid or your kid comes running up to you after you've been gone for 4 hours, and they're so happy to see you, they can barely contain it. It pleases you. You think it pleases God any less when you're happy to see him? It hath ensured the pleasure of God. It's not just a response. It's a stimulus. Look in Philippians chapter 4. Again, another famous verse. Most of you can probably quote it off the top of your heads. Philippians chapter 4. But just read it from this direction. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There it is, right? Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. If you will come to him and in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Your being grateful is more than just a response. Your being grateful is a stimulus that, by the way, helps you out a whole lot. I don't know what one of your desirous achievements is for this life, but I would like to keep my mind until I'm dead. I mean, I don't want to be one of these old codgers that are pinching nurses in the hospital, okay? And are losing my mind, losing my mouth, and not even aware of what I'm saying. I just really would rather not do that. I would like to keep my mind. I'll give you a leg up on that. Be grateful. I have long believed that, you know, one of the things that has probably helped drive our country into the ground is folks that are preoccupied with politics and that particular area of life, because all people do about it is gripe. They gripe and complain, and everybody's doing everything wrong, et cetera, et cetera. I try to watch my attitude, because you can call up on the phone on a 50,000-watt station and complain every single day. You can have your voice can be a familiar call voice on talk radio where you call and complain about the government. And if you want to do it, that's fine, but you can also get on a keyboard or on tweet or whatever it is, Facebook, and you can, you know, gripe worldwide. And then, like I said, I wonder in the end, when it's all said and done, what two or three generations in a row that have been taught to do nothing but gripe, murmur, and complain, I wonder where that leaves us. Now, two or three generations sequentially, I think we're there, where all folks have done about one thing or another has been bitter resentment. They've griped, they've murmured, they've complained about every single thing in the world. And look, this generation is nuts. They can't think right. And they say things and they don't. It doesn't make any sense. What sense does it make if you're mad at the cops to burn down your neighbor's store? It doesn't make any sense. You're crazy. And I know this, the peace of God is not ruling in your heart. And if what the Bible says is true, the reason the peace of God doesn't rule in your heart, because you ain't grateful. And you haven't ever stopped to habitually thank God any time in your life. And so by the time this is over, maybe you just lose your mind. You know what I'm saying? I have one last thing to say and then I'll be done. Look at just a handful of verses. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I want to say that what gratitude hath wrought, it hath elevated man to godliness. It's not the same as salvation, but it goes a long way to getting a guy there. I want to say that gratitude hath promoted secular tranquility. It's happened beneath our noses. Gratitude hath ushered in the glory of God. It happened in Solomon's day. Gratitude hath secured the will of God. That's happened for you if you've been thankful. The hours that you were grateful, you were in the will of God. I want to say that gratitude hath ensured the pleasure of God. I want to say that gratitude hath assured the peace of God. And I want to say from Revelation chapter 4, verse 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor or glory and honor and power, and has created all things. Now you'll notice back in verse 9, and when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him, that all that other stuff happened. Look in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 12. This is in the context of a tribulation remnant, that a great multitude of people that are saved out of the great tribulation. By the way, that's not you. Okay? Nevertheless, there is a great number out of the nations that are saved in the great tribulation from verse 9. And I'm going to go on down to verse 10, where they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One more. Look at Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. And when the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, it says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 17, those 24 elders sat before God on their thrones, saying, We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come. I would like to say that gratitude hath established the tone in heaven. I don't know what kind of places you've been in this world, but you've never been there. You've never been to a place where for the last several thousand years, people have sat around continually, the creatures in heaven, the angels, the 24 elders, and all these cherubim are all standing around continually giving God glory and thanks. I don't know what kind of spirit that prepares a place to be like, but I just want to say it's going to be good. Gratitude hath established the tone in heaven. There ain't going to be any gripe guts in heaven. There's not going to be any talk of politics in heaven. That's going to all be settled. And I just want to say that, you know, one thing that gratitude hath wrought, it's wrought it there. You haven't experienced it yet, but it hath established the tone of heaven. I'll close with something that Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, not David Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said, when we bless God for mercies, we prolong them. When we bless God for miseries, we most usually end them. Praise is the honey of life, which a devout heart extracts from every blossom of providence and grace. Brethren, if we only could discipline ourselves to be grateful for all the things that we ought, we'd be much better off than we are. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father, thank you.